final again.
Anda de lonely ni ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob? You betcha. You betcha. It's Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. Today I could have gone to college. We've had, meetings these past couple of days. I attended a couple of courses on Turnitin. If you're a college teacher, even a high school teacher, you know what that's all about. You know, it's you can submit a student's work electronically, and it will flag every bit that's copied. And most colleges have like a 30% acceptance mark. If 30% of it is sort of copied from other sources, and of course, you got to check thoroughly to make sure maybe the material was cited properly. It's a direct quote, but it was cited and referenced, then of course that's fine. But what you're looking for is plagiarism, like an entire paper handed in that was somebody else's. Anyway, it's kind of cool the way you're using, you know, new technology to keep up. And it's just like the criminals and the cops, you know. You just, one is always trying to stay ahead of the other. And whoever has the most money gets to win, usually. So that was kind of fun. And then the new changes to the operating system, Desire to Learn, you know, how it's a little better than it was last time I used it. And I kind of like that stuff. I'm excited. This is my college teaching class, English, ESL and English. And I'm excited to be back. It's a whole lot of work, but I find it's just a good workout for my brain because you really do have to stay on top of things. I mean, a student's getting a college credit here. Their future's on the line. You got to be responsible. You got to take steps to make sure you're being fair and objective and assessing them properly and giving them the opportunities they need and actually teaching them something so they can learn and do better. I mean, you'd think that would be the goal. Sometimes that gets lost for all the details you have to go through, all the bureaucracy, all the tracking down of this and that, and the administrative side to the job sometimes leaves very little time for actual teaching. But I love it. I'm really happy to be back. I think it's a great job. And that won't start till after Labor Day, but now it's just prep time to make sure we're here and our brains are still working, and we'll see how it goes from there. I'm in Bluffers Park, and I thought I'd start a podcast to you. This is number 363, Dixon Janes, by the way. There may be some older clips at the end of this podcast, I don't know, from my time in Montreal. It's just that I felt I wanted to enter what feels to me like real time with you again. The other podcasts you've been hearing from my camp, from Ottawa, Montreal, Quebec, it's almost like it's a different me. Like, that's actually not the Scarborough dude. This is the Scarborough dude back in his home turf. And I'm thinking maybe you've had enough of me on the road and that other me, and like me, you want the old me back. And so this is who I am right now. It's an absolutely splendiferous day. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Nice day to be in the park. Speaking of which, I got to own up to, I don't know, a little bit of showing that I'm really not such a nice guy. I pull in the parking lot, park in the shade. I walk up. I know the meter says, you know, there's pay here, and then there's a sign that says no charge up until 5 o'clock. And after 5, you know, you pay 75 cents a half hour or something like that. And full force on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. We know that. Pay parking. But free before 5. So I go and I check and say, yep, okay. Well, it's 1 in the afternoon now, is it? 1:30. I'm free. I'm good. A van pulls up beside me. Asian-looking people, probably Chinese. 1 gets out, 2 gets out, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people get out of the van. And a few of them start walking over to the parking machine. And I could have immediately then just said, oh, hey, you don't have to pay. But they were all speaking Chinese. And I just kind of ignore them and figure, well, I think the truth on it, it was almost like below the surface, this thought, but I'm pretty sure I thought it, was, hey, if you can't read English, it's your own fault, right? If you can't read the sign that says no charge before 5 p.m., then too bad for you. And that's very cruel and unkind, you know? Like, why? What have I got against these people? Well, I don't know. Just the fact that there were seven in the van annoyed me and speaking another language. And it's just, it doesn't reflect well on me. And that's why I'm telling you, you know? I didn't let the air out of their tires. I didn't do anything bad. But it was this act of omission almost. The fact that I did not immediately. Now, my friend Brian, who I talk about all the time on this show, and you've heard him long ago. I don't let him on anymore. He talks too much. But Brian would have immediately, he would have got out of the car and gone up to them and made some comment and made them laugh and made them happy and made sure they didn't pay anything. Now, fortunately, there was another guy parked right directly opposite the machine. And he yelled at them, and they ignored it, and he made some more noise and waved his hands, and finally somebody walked over, and he made it clear, no pay, no pay. And they thanked him and smiled and walked away happily. He did it, I didn't. Now, why I'm telling you this, I don't know. I guess maybe a little bit of guilt. What would you have done in that situation? Would you have just ignored it? Is it a little bit of racism on my part? Was it just a little bit of, hey... Like when I was in the staff room the other day and all I could hear was loud Chinese being spoken, I just found it annoying. Hey, you know, is it an anti-Chinese thing? Like, why did I really, as much as I criticize the Americans, why did I want them to pull ahead of the Chinese in the Olympics? Into a discussion yesterday. Now, one of the nice things about college is there are a lot of well-educated, interesting people there. And you right away, you get in there and you reconnect. Somebody you might hug, somebody you might just shake hands, somebody you're just happy to see again. You know, you've been there, it's going on 3-4 years now. And so you're kind of, you enjoy, you're reconnecting. And there were two fellows, one from Zimbabwe, one from Nigeria, and another guy who's just, wow, he knows a lot about everything. And they were sitting having a discussion about the Chinese investment in China and how China is in the process of colonizing Africa. I've mentioned this before, the money they're putting into, I guess, Mozambique and other places because they want what's underground. They want what the continent has to offer. They're playing it smarter than the Americans and Europeans have sort of ignored it or put money here and there, but basically. Now, one of the Nigerians was saying it's because they're just a little bit, they've learned their lesson, they've been accused of colonization, and they're just afraid to be caught at it again, so they're sort of staying hands off. But neither of the African gentlemen were seemingly too thrilled about what's happening with the Chinese. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there, a little bit of politics, a little bit of bigotry, a little bit of, you know, things that make me look like not such a nice guy, because maybe the last few podcasts I'm thinking I really am a nice guy. So I got to just kind of balance it out a little bit, okay? That's all. Maybe not such a big deal like Prince Harry being caught naked in Las Vegas playing naked billiards or strip billiards or something. Big deal. Not really all that important, is it? It is nice to be back, talking to you again in the present, so to speak. I can't put podcasts up while I'm away, so suddenly you get, you know, three or four, boom, 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 one after another, and maybe some of you just skip through them or fast forward. I guess it doesn't really matter. Although, I did spare you at least one 20-minute clip that I listened to. I don't know. If I get high... If I smoke up, and of course I did, one of the highlights of the trip is when I see my students off at Dorval Airport, I spend an extra 2 days in Montreal, and I just love it. It's become a tradition. It's become such a wonderful thing to have. Free days just to wander Montreal, and maybe have a little bit of a brownie or a toke, and explore new territory. This time it was the Lachine Canal, and man, oh man, was that ever nice, just spending all that time walking around, and St. Henri District, nice coffee shops. You know what I'm talking about. You probably heard it. Where was I going with that? How nice it felt. How wonderful it was. Oh, yeah. So I get a little high and I put on the recorder. And you know, I'm just thrilled, you know, because you're stoned. All the neurons are firing and you're making these new connections and you're excited about everything. But sometimes you listen back and you think, holy shit, man, there was nothing there. So it's like Timothy Leary said a long time ago, if you write straight, edit stoned, and vice versa. And it's the same for podcasting. If you podcast stoned, edit straight, you know? So that's what I do. I spare you some clips. I don't edit little bits out of a clip. I just sort of toss the whole clip. And anyway, I guess that's it. This is just an introduction. It's just a welcome back. I just wanted to say hello and maybe put this at the beginning of the podcast. And maybe at the end you're going to hear me back in Montreal after all is said and done. But meanwhile, it's a nice day. I've come here to Bluffers Park with my new textbook. I'm teaching supposedly native speakers, a sort of a catch-up-y English because they're a little shaky on the grammar and the rules of writing and spelling and sentence construction and paragraph formation and reading comprehension and thought formation and all that other stuff. And they just need a little help with. And that's probably the course I'm going to teach, although I was supposed to teach it last semester and it got changed, so who knows. But anyway, I got the new textbook. I think I'm going to look it through it and do something productive with the day, okay? So I'll get back to you a little later on. Just say welcome back to the Dixon Janes podcast, okay? Take it easy. Bye for now. Yeah, sorry. I just, the book is called Grassroots with Readings, the Writer's Workbook, Susan Fawcett. I just want to read the what's called the brief contents because, wow, this looks like everything my students need. And forgive me if you're not interested, too bad. Unit 1, Writing Effective Paragraphs. Unit 2, Writing Complete Sentences. And believe me, that's tricky for a lot of people. Using verbs effectively, Unit 3. Unit 4, joining ideas together. You know, and that would cover semicolons, conjunctive adverbs, relative pronouns, ing modifiers. Oh, beautiful stuff. Unit 5, choosing the right noun, pronoun, adjective, adverb, or preposition. Unit 6, revising for consistency and parallelism. Now, that's tricky. Parallelism. You know, you got to know that. Unit 7, mastering mechanics, that'd be commas, capitalization, apostrophes, that's basic. Improving your spelling, and then reading selections and quotation bank. So that's just off to a very good start. This looks like the kind of book that I've been wanting to use for a long time. I haven't opened it up yet, but just the look at that table of contents is definitely heading in the right direction. Trouble is, it's like several hundred pages. Oh my God, yeah, 450 pages. Half the students won't even buy the book. Some will miss 30% or more of the classes. A lot of people won't do the assignments that you give them, and so on. But in an ideal world, if somebody went through this book, wow, would they ever be doing a good job? So I think that's what I have to just maybe find out. Okay, what do they really, really need? All right, talk to you a bit later. I just wanted to share that with you. You're welcome.
New colors on the walls. Throw away your letters and rip up all your sweaters. You can haunt me, you can taunt me when you're gone.
positive, that's what the people say. Talk it up, don't let it get down. But there's so many negatives that pass a long way. Throw them in the river, let them drown.
Monday afternoon, 5 o'clock, and once again I'm sitting by the Lachine Canal at the foot of Atwater. I'm looking across at Atwater Market, and clouded over. I'm glad you're getting some of the local atmosphere. Yeah, just looking over at some condos and all day thinking, man, I wish I had a condo in Montreal I could come back to. I've got great thoughts for the future. Yesterday I touched on it and I made notes about plans for the future. And today it hasn't gone away. Today it's just as clear as it was yesterday. That
Your paddle is much wider than your boat.
There is a plan that I should be wise enough to go forward with. All the signs are pointing in the right direction. It's as if I have had another one of those epiphanies. I see what I can do and should do in terms of the future of my own business, Canadian Study Tours. It's quite simple. The custom-made tours we're sort of doing for the students have to be created also for teachers, and would do any number. I'm not going to tell you all the stuff. I'm sorry. I know this is really not the vehicle for sharing those stories. I guess I'm just trying to say that I'm really excited that I can be here and have a holiday and feel free and wander the streets in Montreal, and yet at the same time feel that I'm being very practical and looking to the future, and I'm very excited about possible business expansion in a direction that's great for me to go. There's only one catch to the whole damn thing, and that is my leg has got to get better. I cannot do what I plan to do with a bum leg, and it's not really the leg, it's the back. So something's got to be done, or there ain't no future in the way I see it. Okay, I've been tweeting to some of you, and it's like I'm in touch. Oh, yeah, there's Dave, and there's, you know, others. Did I tell you? Maybe I didn't. What a wonderful time I had last night in... No, maybe I didn't record last night at all. After meeting up with Laurent in Pub Brouhaha, which had an excellent selection of beer. A lot of local. Trois Maisons, or Feu de Maison, whatever. And then other imported taps, you know, or guest taps, I should say. The man behind the bar certainly knew his beer, and Laurent loved that kind of place. And it was just great that a friend in Montreal would guide me to one of his local bars, a place that he likes. Not only that, he bought me all my beer. Calvaire. Can't say it quite like he can or my father could. Calvaire. Oh, great French swear word. And anyway, it was a good night. And Hugh, I was going to say Hugh McLean, but not Hugh McLennan, the writer. The other Hugh, the writer, showed up. And Sylvain Grand Maison. So we had some good conversations around the topic of women, I guess, for a large part of it. And it was just plain enjoyable. And then just got to... Sylvain dropped me off at the subway, Rosemount Subway. And I got to Lignan-Gru and then hop on that Bord du Lac. And holy shit, off you go. You're home in 15 minutes. Anyway, I know, I really, I am, a lot of this is just boring to you because I'm not sort of living in this moment and, you know, acting thrilled about what's all around me. I should be, but I'm not. But I am enjoying being here in this fine city and kind of discovering new places and actually enjoying the idea that, as I go along here, I'm picturing guiding others. And it's a vision I had 2 years ago, a year gone. I think the time is finally coming. I think it's finally reached a point. And I guess, see, it's not the details of the business that are important. The bigger issue is when do you get brave enough to act on an idea? When do you really say, okay, man, that's it. I'm gonna put my line out there, my reputation out there. I'm going to put everything on the line and do that. It's what I've always admired about novelists. Who, you know, give up everything to write this novel that they have no idea is going to be good or not. And that takes balls. Little bit of a wind here. Having the confidence in your own ideas. Now, what I'm finding very wonderful about all this is when we had our Chinese meals in Ottawa with the tour, and the four teachers sat at a table, and we all got our fortunes, and they were all appropriate, right, suited to the person who got them. And I think I told you that already, but I can't quite remember the wording is mine, but it was along the lines of you will have enough. It's something along the lines of you will have enough confidence to act. And I wished like hell I'd saved that piece of paper. I usually do. And perhaps it just got lost somewhere. But I'm also going to take that as a sign that this is the time to put things into action. And there's a clarity I have in my mind of a few things that have been worrying me about the on business matters. God damn, what is this shit doing in a Dixon Jane's podcast? It's just, what's happening, boys and girls, if you haven't noticed already, the dude and Ken are getting awfully close. That's exactly what's happened. That explains everything. No more apologies. Fuck you. I had to go through that process to get to that statement, okay? That there is a merging of the selves. And who knows, that may be a good thing. I guess I'll leave that there. There's a bit of a bombshell. Yeah, as if it matters. It does to me, I'll tell you. It does to me. Yeah, I've got a big smile on myself. I think I'm going to go for a little bit of a walk and a little toke and carry on with the rest of the day. I got no set plans. 5:15, no plans to meet anybody. I probably could make a couple of calls. I was a little disappointed. I really did want to see Julian, whose neighborhood I'm, you know, walking about. It's just sort of, oh, sorry, I missed you kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying, hey, you know, Julian is a busy man. You don't just sort of drop in and expect somebody's going to agree to see you and meet you, and they're doing a million other things, important things too. So no fault there. It just would have been, it would have been a thrill to actually meet and chat with Julian, you know. Unfortunately, it hurts my reputation, you see. I mean, if the Scarborough dudes say, oh yeah, it's a mantra, yeah, I had coffee with Julian, holy fuck, the points, you know, that's like an injection into your clout score. Like, whoa, geez, suddenly bonus 50 points. Alone with Julian for a coffee? Nobody else? Just you and Julian? Holy Christ, man. I'll just swing that. I didn't. So I guess my clout isn't quite where it should be. Yeah, she's got a nice ass. Before I start wandering further afield, I'll just leave you there and carry on with my little walk here and see how the evening unfolds. There's the Burgundy Lion close by. I'm tempted to pop in there. But on my own, or should I try and give someone a call, you know? What do I do? Who do I know? Or is it just destined to be a night of further reflection? Take care, and bye for now.
people you love. 'Cause death cannot part us if life already has. Hold on to those you hold dear.
This is a little unusual. I am in a huge, huge room, tiled, sort of a glass ceiling. Yeah, I can see through it. A World War I memorial statue at one end. It's the old Windsor Station. Used to catch our trains here, the 410 home. And it's just wonderful they've kept the building. You know, there's a lot of old buildings getting knocked down. This one was saved. It's actually a big open space. It doesn't appear to be doing anything. It's got a few offices to the side, but it'd be a wonderful place to host exhibits. I'm sure they do that. I came here last year. I come here every year. I love the way you take a walk, and you might have a plan in your head. All right, we're going to go straight up mountain all the way right up to the top to one of those Irish bars. And then you get to the statue of Guy Lafleur and Maurice Richard, Jean Béliveau. You say, oh, maybe I'll go that way instead, because you're looking over at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel, and you know what that's famous for, you John and Yoko fans. And the CN headquarters building, where I got my first office job with the railway, and learned just enough to quit and go back to university. Where were we? Recounting old stories, old times, this particular railway building. It's got a classic look. I guess the long and the short of it is I'm loving being back in Montreal. It's just this city just, it charms me, and I still feel there's just so much to discover. I mean, stuff I never knew. Come on, I was a West Island boy. There's so much of the heart of Montreal yet to discover, and it's just been great each trip back, and it's actually inspiring me. It's inspiring me for my business. I have, and some of you will accuse me of repeating myself on this podcast. Oh yeah, I got this great idea, you know, but I have this great idea, and you know, there's no reason why it can't be successful and serving a great purpose. So I'm going forward. Mark my words, I'm going forward. Hang on while we take a picture of that bench, okay? Just, hang on. Yeah, it's kind of a nice picture. Yeah, I've got, I've been walking along doing curriculum design, coming up with ideas. And, boy, it's kind of weird. Like, if I'm just talking to me, then I can say anything I want, you know. But if I'm actually talking to listeners out there, people who follow the Dixon Janes podcast week after week, yours truly since almost the very beginning, more than 7 years now, never failing in my duty to provide you with a week's worth of variety and entertainment and to look into an old man's mind. Starting to feel old. I know I'm not. I have been getting a lot of death thoughts, like not eerie, unpleasant. Oh, that sent a chill up my spine. But thoughts of, well, first of all, I'm really feeling happy that so many people are going to be sorry when I die. Like that, you don't believe how happy that makes me. I'll think of each one of you out there, you know, and think, oh yeah, they're really going to miss me. Yeah. And, so that's why it's nice to die first, you know? So, you know, I'm wondering, well, why are you having these thoughts, you know? Didn't I, the last time I came back to Montreal for a class reunion, I was convinced I was going to die, and I think it was just, well, I guess you hit the parallel, my father coming to Montreal and dying. That's when he died of his heart attack, you know? And so it's in my mind, and naturally. But no, I got roads to plow and trees to plant before I sleep. You heard it here first. Scarborough Dude on the Dixon James podcast, talking to you from the old Windsor Station. The vision I have across from me, I'll post a picture of just a couple of planters and a wooden bench joining them. It's art. Very simplistic, but it's absolutely beautiful with a tile floor. Anyway, I come here, the reason I walk all the way to the end is to visit the fallen soldier. It's so sad. It's one of these classic statues. And he's just, you know, the angel has come down to lift him up. And but, you know, he's not coming back. He's dying. Yeah. I don't think he's quite dead in this thing, but he's dying. And I guess it's just at the moment of the angel saving him. So it's, you know, it's optimistic. But you got to feel for those guys who died in World War One. I do. I mean, I just, that's a part of my construction. World War One, World War Two. Yeah. I just keep getting taken in by the visuals, you know, the lights, the clock, the big round clock, and everything I'm looking at here. Let's get one more picture. Come on, you sucker. I really need a decent camera, and I tend to get one sometime. I'm going to get all the students' iPads. This is the plan I'm having, right, for my new business. They will come with preloaded iPads. They'll pay for it. Preloaded iPads. So I need a good programmer. What I need, here's the deal, boys and girls. Like, I'm moving forward. I've got the skills, I've got the experience, I've got the pieces lined up, and now I have the clear vision. This study tour that I've been doing for 20 years now for 15, 16-year-old girls, I'm just going to change it up and design a study tour for Japanese teachers. And it will be the real thing, not these university classes they just dump you into and treat you like all the others. I'll treat you like an individual, like the single person you are. And that's going to be good. I've got a lot of real excitement about this. I've got amazing curriculum ideas. I am absolutely thrilled about it. But I also feel, and I'm going to spill here the beans here now, if you're listening, if you're a faithful listener, there's some room for sharing and having other people involved in this. You know, I'm thinking of the people I know in the different cities who could serve as guides, you know, and of course you'd be paid somehow. Shares in the company. Anyway, and I'm just, I've got this list, you know. Well, there's Anthony in Hamilton. Anthony's going to say, no, I can't do that, but he could. I should be cautious in all that I say right now, but it just feels to me like it's the real thing. And that's always a scary thing to say, oh yeah, this is it. It's like, okay, now I'm writing that book. I never did write that book. You know, that was always now, always starts. And yet my life has got me to a point now where I'm very happy. And my friend who I had lunch with, Mike, said sometimes I've envied the life you've led, the path you've taken. Now, of course, Mike lives a very, very comfortable, very nice life. Has the things that he wanted in life. That's got to be good enough. And life does get taken away. Think of our mutual friend Peter and his life. And suddenly, oh, Peter dies. Well, that's not much fun. So there's always in the back of my mind, there is death, and I'd like to park that one, if I may. Not ready to go just yet, thank you, but stay tuned. Yeah, the different people who provide so much, I've got... It's the Dixon Jeans listeners. That's the deal. Like, you're the people I trust. And I know who you are out there. I know a lot of who's listening. Anyway, you're saying, dude, you're sounding kind of wasted. You want to get on with that? Spell it out. No, I don't like you. I'm just still chewing it over. It's all a lot of fun right now. Now we're gonna go visit that soldier, if you don't mind.
Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr are the only Beatles in the world. Do you feel like dancing? Are you getting hungry? Do you wanna be my girl? Riki tiki tiki, canta el trovador. Como una flor tan gorda que no tiene sabor. Qué rica es la vida y qué rico es el amor. No mates al toro, mata al toreador. Yo sí oigo a Donovan. Yo sí oigo a Mark Bolan. Yo sí oigo a Ben Chasney. A Six Organs me gusta a mí.
Nice and clear, wasn't it? The first time she did a little better. She said the there's been a medical emergency. 503 has been cancelled. And the 511 from Oshawa is approximated to be here at 545. She used approximate as a verb. I hadn't heard that before. It's approximated to be here at 545. Funny how your first reaction, like, due to a medical emergency, the 503 is canceled, and right away you're pissed off. Because your train is not coming. You're not thinking about, well, what is that medical emergency? Whose son, father, daughter, sister, aunt, you know, was that, and what happened? Did they jump in front of the train, or did they just fall? You know, what's the story? Oh, hang on while the Via Rail shoots by. Yeah. So anyway, here I am at the Eglinton GO station on my way in. If you hear from me, 6 hours from now, 8 hours from now, you'll have a different voice. But for now, I'm sane and sober and thought it was time to have a few words with you, the Dixon James listeners. I was listening to... what's his name? I have a ham radio, Keith McNally. And he was, some serious talk. He was out there telling it like it is, explaining his emotions, his feelings. Kind of sounded lonely. I think he often does sound lonely and a little lost and sure of himself, but something's missing in his life. He's looking for something. And I realized... See, I've been kind of, I don't know, am I just skimming over the surface with this podcast? Am I just throwing words out and I'm really not trying to do anything at all artsy? And I guess, in a sense, I'm not. I'm trying to live my life artistically. When I talked about my program being my life's work, my study tour program, I mean that in all sincerity, and I still mean it. I still hold it up to that standard that this is a good thing. My life has gone in a good direction. Keith was saying nothing bad has ever happened to him, and I guess to a large extent, maybe it's true for me. I mean, I've lost both my parents. I've had strange things go on in my life, but overall, I've been very, very, very lucky. I feel blessed. Blessed. And things generally go my way. I have a lot of luck, or at least I believe I have a lot of luck, which is one and the same thing. Not a lot to complain about, but I guess I feel obliged, maybe, to be a little more forthright, a little more honest, a little deeper, maybe, than what I've been doing, giving you lately. And yet, if I dig, what am I really going to find? I'm going to come up with more of the same shit. Like, hey, man, I'm a happy dude. I was driving here, and I was rehearsing in my mind, okay? I don't do rehearsals. I don't do the show notes and plan out where this podcast is going. But I was getting the idea that, gee, I've got to talk to you, and I got to be straight and open and honest. And the one thing that I felt I wanted to say was that I could die now and I'd be okay. I really feel I've lived my life fully. I haven't held back. I don't have regrets about, oh, if only I'd done that. I wish I'd have tried that. I would have liked to have done that. I don't have any of those. I feel I've really given it my best shot. I've thrown myself into it. And I can say that for, not so much for the jobs I've had. I'm glad about the jobs I've had, working with the mentally handicapped and the teaching, you know. I mean, the jobs have been not bad. More interesting, really, were the jobs that in a way didn't count towards a career. The jobs with the railway, those are far more colorful and exciting. And I'm just so glad to have those. My God, the thought of entering a career track right out of college and, you know, finding yourself and working your way up. What a horrible thought. And that includes teachers who just come straight from university, teachers college, and then got in. And at best, they get summer holidays off to Europe or something. But I've had adventures. And when I think of the big adventures, you know, off to Nigeria for a couple of years and all those years in Japan, I feel wonderful about it. So, like, I did what I wanted to do. So if I was giving advice to anybody, I'd say, holy fuck, man. I mean, reminder, ding, 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 you got one chance at life. One crack at it. Don't piss it away. Don't hold back and think, oh, well, maybe later, or, you know, when I get enough money, I want to retire. Or do the things you really want to do. And find out. I mean, you might not know. You can't just sort of sit there and make a bucket list, you know. I think some of us, some of you, well, not the listeners, some people in general, I think get poisoned almost by all the crap that's out there in our beloved social media. Been having this fight with Barnacle Bill, by the way, over the value of social media. He thinks it's all just spectators and there's nothing of value. We differ. We argue a lot on that. But anyway, that aside, I think there is a lot of people who just sort of, somebody else fills your head. Oh, here's the places you have to see. You got to go to Machu Picchu. And you haven't thought for yourself. You haven't flipped through an old National Geographic or seen some movie and wondered, well, what is that place in the background? It looks so interesting. You know, you haven't really found it for yourself. Somebody's going to give you all the answers. Somebody's going to provide the tour. Somebody's going to lay it all out for you. And then it's not yours anymore. You're following somebody else's path. And Jesus, we become more and more and more like robots. Where is that spirit? That's going the wrong direction, okay? In case you're interested. I do love these GO trains. I love trains. So, yeah, I had to make that choice. I got 45 minutes to wait for a train. Do I go back to my car? Do I go back home? It would be time. Or just sit here and maybe talk to you a bit. You win the prize. I talked to you a bit. What was it I really wanted to say, though? About living your life your way. if you still can. It's an awful lot of pressure. Yeah, I saw two movies recently. And, of course, one was The Campaign. You know, the comedy. What's his name? Used to be on Saturday Night Live. I can't even remember the names. You could Google it, The Campaign, the movie about an exposure, in a very humorous way, of course, on the American electoral system and the corruption of politicians, how they get bought off by people. And it was funny, except that it was based on, reality. Like, hey, yeah, people do get paid for their stance on issues, and people are in the pockets of the rich, and you can buy an election. So it was good in that respect. It was a lighthearted. Is it Ron Farrell or something like that? Anyway, it was okay. I used my points. I wouldn't have paid for it, but I used my scene card points. So getting it for free, it was worthwhile. And then last night I watched on Netflix, I watched In Time, and it was about people's lives are measured by time, and there is these zoned areas, and if you're a working class person, you had this digital clock on your arm that just told you how much time you had left, and to earn more time you had to put in a day's work at the factory, and of course they kept raising it up. Well, no, you got to produce more widgets this week, so that's why you didn't get paid a full 8 hours or whatever, and so you're constantly looking at your arm to find out how much time you got left, and you're going to banks to borrow, and then you owe, and you're gonna have to put in more hours to pay back, and there are time watchers who can come at any point, and thieves who will put their arm against your arm and grab your wrist and steal your time, and of course if you run out of time, you just die. Justin Timberlake, again, not a great movie, but the concept of the idea that we're owned by big business, by the rich, basically. It was the very same thing. The rich are running the show, and that's a recurring theme. You heard it here on the Dixon James podcast. You heard it on my last few, when I was talking to you from camp. And it's kind of funny how both those movies I saw in the same, 12-hour period really reflected the same idea, that as the little guy gets shafted, and the interests of big business and the stakeholders, the ones with all the money and power, they'll do everything to get theirs, and who cares about the rest, the little people. And it's tragically seems not so far off. So if you're an average person, if you're not desperate, you're not strung out on junk, and you still have some control over your life, then my advice to you is take more control over your life and make sure you do spend it the way you'd want to, so that you don't lie in your deathbed with regrets. Anyway, all of that is to say that here I am at this age of 64 with my health in such a state that I really should be taking better care of it, but not that I'm about to die. I know I bring that theme up a lot. It's not that that's in the cards right now, although of course anything could happen, but more that I'm prepared if something did happen, random accident, got hit by the train, that I'd want people to know, well, damn it, that guy lived a good life. He did okay. He had his adventures. When he was a youth, he went out and did a lot of things and celebrated life, enjoyed life, had some good times, didn't hold back. And that's true. So, if you're young and you're having doubts, and I don't feel your situation as hopeless. I mean, what a horrible thought to think, oh my God, I'm trapped and I can't do anything about it. It doesn't mean you have to run off to, Ecuador or some other place. You can do things, I think, in your own sphere, in your own world. It doesn't just mean travel. Oh, that's an awfully nice thing to do if you're single and you can find the time. Make the time. Do it. And if you can't, you're married and you got kids and you're sort of being held back a little bit, then at least create some times for yourself. Say to the wife, say to the kids, hey, I'm sorry, but I need a break.
I gotta go. I gotta contemplate. I gotta do something. I gotta indulge my passions. Well, no, don't say that to your wife. But find some way of reclaiming yourself, because that's another thing. Relationships and our work and our careers and our jobs and everything else can really put a hold on our self-expression and make us toe the line and watch what you post and careful what you say and worry about who may overhear and how you may be misinterpreted, so you better be careful. Holy fuck, man. Are you really that much of a prisoner? Okay, anyway, before I start repeating myself, I just wanted to share that little bit with you. Let you know that I'm okay, Jack. And tonight is our movie night. That's why I'm heading downtown. It's the last night at the National Film Board. Thanks to Mr. Harper. Ha, ha, ha. Cutting back again. National Film Board. Little theater. Wonderful little place. Downtown Toronto. They're pulling back, and we're not going to be able to rent out that little theater anymore to show our movies to the Canada Japan Society. It's a bloody shame. But we're having a last movie and a wine and cheese reception, and yours truly, of course, gets to be the bartender. And it's a role I relish. So take care. Talk to you again very soon. Oh, by the way, this podcast is going to end with All the Tired Horses from Bob Dylan's self-portrait album. That is an album, a song. We, those of us who had it, good friend Mike, ex-girlfriend, our old girlfriend Pat, and a few others had that album. And those are the days when if you liked a track, you got up and you went to the record player and you lifted up the arm and you lifted it back to the start of the track and you played it again and you got up and you lifted that arm back to the start of the track and you might play it several times in a row. Yeah, that's how we did it back then. And that was just a lovely little piece of vinyl, All the Tired Horses. So enjoy it at the end of this podcast, and talk to you real soon. Bye for now.
How am I supposed to get it right and done? All the tired horses in the sun. How am I supposed to get it right and done? All the tired horses in the sun. How am I supposed to get it right and done? All the tired horses in the sun. How am I supposed to get in and ride and done? All the tired horses in the sun. How am I supposed to get in and ride and done? Supposed to get in and ride and done.
supposed to get any right.